Hi, I'm Jen Turner, and I'm a psychic medium.
Hi, I'm Nadia Thorman, and I'm like the Ryan Seacrest to her Teresa Caputo.
And we're here to have a normal conversation about weird stuff.
Welcome to
The Soul Spot.
Hello, friends.
Hello, everyone.
Jen, how is it going?
It's good. I feel good.
I feel good, too.
Yeah?
Okay, I have to tell you about this dream I recently had, and you're going to freak out.
Okay.
But, I mean, maybe you won't freak out. You'll think it's normal. But this is some woo-woo stuff. Okay.
Right.
So, I woke up super early with my kids, and it was the weekend, and I kind of went back upstairs, and I sat in my bed, and I dozed back off. I fell back asleep, okay? But I went back. I had been downstairs awake, and I helped my son get a drink, went back upstairs, fell asleep on the bed for a little while. And when I fell asleep, I had a full-on dream, and in the dream, I was eating two popsicles, one in each hand, and they were melting everywhere. And they were super messy, and I remember being super annoyed in the dream thinking, why am I eating popsicles right now? I never eat popsicles, and this is so annoying. Why am I eating two popsicles? They're messy, whatever. So that was my dream. You know, I dreamed a couple other things in there. I woke up, and then I went downstairs, and there was two melted popsicles on my kitchen counter.
Shut up.
That my son had taken out.
Oh, my God.
And I knew, as far as I know, I wasn't hearing any of this. I was fully asleep. So, riddle me that.
Wow, that's incredible.
Like, we were connected, right?
Yeah, you're totally connected still. But what's interesting about that, because, so there's a tendency to track. Right. So when you go to sleep, if you're falling asleep and you're like, I still am kind of part of me is still paying attention to what my kids are doing.
Well, because really, I'm not supposed to fall asleep. Like my son needs to be watched like at all times.
Right.
So it's irresponsible for me to fall asleep. Like in my brain, I want to be watching him.
Right. Jerome wasn't there. So you just went back to sleep. I love you so much.
No, it was an accident. It was like, I just kind of like nestled into my bed. Like, let me just lay. You've never done this. No, because you're a weird morning person like Jerome.
Yeah.
I am so not.
Well, it's also three energy.
Yeah. I am like, God, we told you guys the story of my wedding day. You've heard it by now. I love my sleep. And listen, every morning I wake up usually at 6 or before 6 with my kids. And it is not fun. It is very like, it's like someone's holding a gun to my head to wake me up.
Right.
Like, it is not my natural state.
Right.
But anywho, yes, I fell asleep.
Okay, no judgment. I love you. Are you kidding me? Okay, so, but what's fascinating about that is that if you're like, I must track them, mm-hmm. like part of me must be watching them and paying attention to them. That's part astral projection and like astral travel.
I love these words.
Because it's like part of your consciousness.
Yeah.
Was not in you, it was with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're able to see, even though it was just a glimpse of, and that was the popsicle thing, but you're still, your energy's with them.
The out of body.
Yes.
Thing. I know. It's so cool.
That is so cool.
Right?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, and the other part of my dream, which is kind of crazy, which, I mean, didn't really, I don't think it was necessary unless Emmy was outside of the dogs, which is possible. But I was trying to, like, make sure one of my dogs was safe outside.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, you never know if that was, like, actually happening.
I mean, just, I'm aware of my people.
Yes. But, like, what you're explaining right now is so amazing because it just shows, like, that the consciousness, like, our awareness is so much more than our body. And that's how mediumship works and, like, all of it.
Okay, so this is a whole nother episode, but we have to talk about that Netflix show. What is it called?
Surviving Death.
Surviving Death.
Yeah.
Because the near-death experience thing to me is like such proof in the pudding.
Let's talk about it for a sec.
Okay.
I feel like this is important, even if this is all we talk about today.
Okay, let's do it.
So I watched it with Dave, and that first... The first episode of it, Surviving Death on Netflix, I was so moved. everything that they explained was exactly how it comes across during mediumship reads.
Really?
All of it was like, this is right. And I'm so happy they're lending a voice to this platform. I will tell you, though, I was very disappointed in the mediumship ones.
Me too. So before we get critical about the rest of it, I think the first episode of this show, even if it's all you watch, which maybe just watch the first episode.
Maybe it's all you should watch. It's so good.
But the first episode is like so amazing and so chilling because it is people from around the world, and there are thousands, if not millions of them, who have all had these near-death experiences. They come together for these retreats because they find each other because they are so forever changed after these experiences. And, I mean, I have chills on my head just talking about this part of it. But what's so wild is that they all explain almost the same thing. They all explain the experience of leaving their body in the same way, of, you know, kind of meeting this light, this source, no time, no space, all of these things, this love, and I'm not doing it justice. This is very much like ultra Cliff's Notes. But the way they describe leaving their bodies and then also still being aware of the world here on Earth, seeing things nobody could possibly have told them. You know, you hear these stories about people floating over their bodies in hospital rooms and like exact descriptions of the tool the surgeon used. And the surgeon, they interview the surgeon and they say, this is so specific. And the way they describe the shape and the parts of it, nobody, unless you are the kind of surgeon I am, would ever know how to describe this with, you know, like no heartbeat or whatever. It's like there are things you cannot scientifically explain. And what I loved about it is they do bring in those scientist doctor people and they say, there is no explanation for this. Right. And it's the same kind of thing like with the book we like, The Proof of Heaven.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's like you take these analytical minds and you take these people that have all had these similar experiences, and it's so moving, but it's also like, I love it because I love hanging on to like those like moments of like, it feels like so much substance, so much proof. Like, how do you explain this?
And it is so beautiful the way that they explain it. And that's how you feel it, you know, doing this, but the way that they explain being forever changed and that expansiveness and that adjustment in consciousness and the no fear and all of that, it is so hard to explain how one would actually even feel that way. Right? Like you're underwater, trapped, and you can't, you broke every bone in your body or whatever, and you're zero fear.
The first 10 minutes of this,
so amazing.
Sven's referencing, and a woman drowns in a pretty severe way by a waterfall kayaking. And it is this beautiful, euphoric death she experiences where she literally feels her soul peeled from her body. And like you said, no fear, no pain, even though she knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And she was completely outside of herself at that moment. So, and she can't, you know, I'm going to give it all away, but she was pronounced dead for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, really dead, drown. Because they didn't find her for 30 minutes. She was in the water. But the things that she experienced and the things she says, oh my God, it's so...
And how it translates into her life experience now.
Beautiful.
It's that alone, like that one is totally worth watching. And I don't mean to be critical of any other mediums. I just feel like the area we talked about before, because they do several segments after that first episode about mediumship. And we've talked about the different types of mediumship before when we had our wonderful guest, Jennifer, on last season, who's a medium. And she talked about the difference between like physical mediumship and mental mediumship. And the way that, so the physical mediumship and like the channeling is so rare that it was surprising to me that they focused so much on that, because the majority, I would say like 90% of mediums are mental mediums, right? Like doing the way that I do it, where it's like evidential mediumship, connecting with spirit, like
the way you do it, the way Laura Lynn Jackson does it, the way Teresa Cook
Caputo.
Caputo. I almost forgot her name.
For Tyler Henry. Like, those are all mental mediums.
Just so people know, yeah.
And they didn't focus that much on mental mediumship. Mm. They focused a lot on physical mediumship. And it was weird to me. I was like, why are you focusing that much on it? And the way that it came across is actually a really interesting conversation, because there is communication with the afterlife, right? There's communication with spirits who have passed. As a medium, your job is to be responsible for getting that, but also to communicate it properly to those living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Laura Lynn Jackson is so wonderful, I think, because she has a very, very good communication with the people sitting in front of her. She can identify herself as a real person. She can articulate the emotions that come through. She can communicate really well. When you get people who are so far out there that you can't relate to, it takes away from the experience, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I think unless you are really deep into that world, I do think for a lot of people the message gets lost, because it does seem really theatrical. It's not to say that it's not real, or there aren't elements of that are real, or that's not true for the person, you know, delivering the message. But I do think it's a really hard pill to swallow, and it does make it. I think it can, in my opinion, and I have limited knowledge on this, so like this is just my opinion, but I think it can lose the message a little bit for the sitter.
That's what I mean. 100%. You know? That's exactly what I mean. I think that it loses the authenticity of just the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that it's distracting,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it becomes distracting because people are questioning whether or not this is a performance,
mm-hmm.
or whether or not the messages are real. And so I was a little bit disappointed that that's kind of what they chose to go off of. I'm happy that they had Laura Lynn Jackson there. I think she's wonderful. I agree, like, with almost everything that she has to say about mediumship. I think it's a very similar process that we do. But I also just think she's a fantastic communicator. I think right. she's really good at that. And so I was disappointed that they chose to kind of highlight.
Well, it, you know, listen, it's a documentary that a lot of documentaries in general these days, it's like, you know, you're looking for the drama and the theatrics and the shock value and the this and the that.
Right.
And they did get into a lot of the history of a lot of these physical mediums in the Victorian times, and you see these weird pictures, and then you find out things were, like, not photoshopped, obviously, but they were, like, charlatans of their day.
Right.
And it kind of gets into, like, I don't want to use this term because they don't really say it in the documentary, but it almost feels a little more like ghost story-ish.
Right.
Like when you watch a ghost hunter right. show and it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like, all right. I mean, and the way, if we're talking about that kind of stuff, I think you and I are on the same page with this. It's like, if we watched a show now that was on, you know, the Discovery or whatever, like Ghost Hunters, it's like, we're probably like, okay, there's probably activity in the house, but it's totally. Not spooky and weird like they're making it. They have the lights off. They have the Blair Witch camera. They right. have some hokey machine. They're, you know, trying to scare the shit out of us.
Right.
But it's like, you could go in that house and be like, oh yeah, it's like this grandpa that lived here and whatever.
Right.
And like, if you want him to leave, say the word. you
yeah,
know, like,
yeah, yeah.
It's just like, it's got kind of a little bit of that, but anyways.
I was creeped out by it. Like, I was even creeped out by it. I was like, oh my God, this is, like, kind of spooky and, like, really weird and,
I was
like, creepy.
Totally
and why do they always have to have, like, weird little girls in, like, bushes? You know that one? Like, I feel like that's, like, the telltale sign of, like, a scary story. I'm like, can you not have that visual? It's, like, so creepy.
Are we talking about the surviving death still?
Yeah, there was one in that one. But I feel like in all these, like, ghost story thing, it's, like, the creepy, haunted, like, little girl over everything.
Oh, totally.
Like, stop.
Well, I was creeped out by a lot of things when they got into the mediumship of surviving death. And none of that stuff usually scares me anymore, but I think it was produced in a way to kind of give you...
to incite that.
Yeah, and it was the music and the this yeah. and that. So anyways, the nuggets I got from it in the beginning, I love the surviving death stories.
Me too.
I mean, the near-death experience.
Yes, like,
I think it's so beautiful and moving and real and tangible. And, like, I think collecting all of those stories is, like, just this, like, inspiration that, like, there's so much we don't know and how beautiful that can be. Because all of these people's experiences are wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they come back a little confused because it's really weird to come back from. But, you know, like, they have to get their bearings.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like nobody that crosses over like that is ever in a bad way.
Yeah, it's so cool because when we were talking about people crossing over, and there's one gentleman, for example, who gets a lot of healing from meeting his dad on the other side. Like, that one stuck out to me. I don't know if you remember that account. But
I do. He was he like Native American?
Yeah, maybe? Like, and the artist, I think.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I loved his story. Me too.
I was like sobbing. I'm like, I love this person so much. But the idea that when you do cross over, it's almost like healing and all of the knowledge instantly. It's mm-hmm. like this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I get it now. I get what you were experiencing when you said that. I understand why he felt that way. I understand all the, like, all of the lineage of pain that have led him to make those decisions that has nothing to do with me.
Well, it, you know what? You hit the nail on the head too, because when I was watching this, I thought of your readings and I thought, this is exactly how you describe it coming across.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, now that they're there, they get it.
It's like you get the full book, not just the chapters. Like, all of a sudden you get it. And it's not, time is different there. So it's not like, give them some time to understand where they're at. It's like, oh no, they understand. That's home to them. It's a recognizable feeling right away of where they are. It's us that can't even comprehend that, you know?
So when you have told people before in readings that it's good to like wait a month or so.
Yeah.
And is that mostly for that person to receive the message versus the person on the other side?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think that there's probably still maybe some confusion in terms of how to communicate with their loved ones from the soul on the other side. But it's the reason I say it is because I want the dust to settle a little bit within their soul so they can hear the messages more clearer, so they're more open. So it's not coming from such a heightened emotional place where the messages aren't as clear. So, but I love the way that they described all of that and just the healing that can take place. And just that, what a beautiful mystery, right? We're always so eager to look for the hard evidence of everything. And they have so much data and they have so many accounts of this from all around the world in every different language of people who have had these near-death experiences. But it's like, I love that it's still a beautiful mystery.
Me too. I do too. And I think there's something so comforting in that.
Yeah.
You know, and that I love what we have and like the spirituality here on earth, and we can like barely touch it.
Yeah.
But like we're trying to learn more about it, but the stories are all so similar. They're so moving. And I mean, I can't get enough of them. If you guys have not read Proof of Heaven.
Right.
Read Proof of Heaven. This book, I've talked about it before, but this doctor of, he was some kind of brain doctor, which is so, I love when this stuff happens to people that like the ultimate person.
Of course.
Who is like the ultimate cynic of something like this. But he has a beautiful story and it's like a best-selling book. It's just amazing. But they're all so similar and they're messages of hope. And it's all the same kind of love language everyone's talking about. The same kind of love language, the same kind of all-knowing, the same kind of, like, no time or space. But it's, like, to me it's very comforting and beautiful and evidential and all those things.
So, I felt the same way. It was really great.
So, I mean, we've been talking about this for almost 20 minutes. I think it's safe to say this episode is near-death experiences or something like that. This is not what we plan on talking about, guys. But you know
it
what?
It happens organically.
We've got so many things to talk about.
I want to say something, though, like, about that documentary, too, since we're dedicating this episode.
Yeah.
This was not planned.
Yeah.
there was the comments about looking on Facebook and, like, being able, as a medium, like, being able to have access.
The charlatans.
Right. Like, being able to access that information in this day and age where everything's available, mm-hmm. right? And I guess I would say this as a medium, but also as somebody who wants to do this in the highest regard is that if they're saying everything that's on your Facebook, it's just not the way mediumship works.
Nope.
And it would be very, very hard to nail everything that was on the Facebook. Now, you can get something super accurate. You know, there's some readings where it's like, it's crystal clear, but usually that evidence isn't Googleable. And, so I think it's a really interesting kind of place where we're at now where it's like, yes, could I look you up ahead of time? Probably. Would I find information on you? Maybe some would be good. Maybe some wouldn't be good. I don't know. But I also just feel like if it's too good to be true, perhaps it is. Like, readings aren't.
Is that negative? I have a lot to say about this. Okay. Because I thought about you the whole time I was watching this. So there's this guy in this documentary who is super into mediumship. He lost his dad. He loved his. Who doesn't love?
I love this guy, by the way.
I love this guy. He is so earnest and wonderful. And he basically like had a really good first reading from a medium, and then was like hooked. And he like never knew he believed in this before, but then was just like, it was so great. He was almost addicted to the process. He goes, I wanted to keep getting different readings from different mediums to validate this even further. And it was just always cool connecting with my dad. But then also it's just like, if I'm getting the same things from different mediums or different things that are more evidential, how amazing. Because he's almost on this mission to like prove it to himself and everyone else. So that being said, at a certain point, they're with some in a funky physical medium kind of situation. And a lot of the messages to, he was with other family members and there was like a cousin. And a lot of the messages to the cousin in this situation were things they could find on his Facebook. Now, again, we don't know if that's what happened or not.
Right.
So what I have to say about that is that I know from Jen and her mediumship. First of all, we all know Jen does not know how to work technology. Like, if I told her to dig up something on someone, she'd be like, wait, what do I push? How do I get here? I can't get into Facebook. I don't know how it works.
Oh, my God. No, remember when I posted my brother's name when I was looking for him on Facebook?
This is my favorite story, you guys. This is my favorite story. So Jen's version of trying to creep on someone, she's trying to find her long-lost brother. Like, there's a search bar, right? You can look someone's name up. So Jen posts it as a status update.
With on just, accident. I just her I
first, his
it.
First and last name. He posted it. So that
everyone
was...
Everyone was so confused.
Like, I mean, like, Grandma Jen here. Like, literally, my grandmother probably knows
I've how gotten
to
better, though.
Work
I've gotten better
no, at you've it. Gotten so much better, and I'm really proud of you.
Thank
but
you.
What I would like to say,
yes.
just on the heels of this,
yes.
is I know if she's never met the person... Her process is, I just need the first name. She doesn't, the less information she has, the better. Because if you're a legit medium, you're working from a different consciousness and you're not working in your logic brain.
Right.
So for her to know too many things almost messes you up.
Right.
Right. Like, you don't want to know things because you don't want your logic to take over.
Right.
Like, if you know somebody is a dentist or you know somebody is in the military or whatever, that might like, that could like skew your perception ahead of you don't want any preconceived ideas.
I don't
right?
want preconceived ideas or preconceived notions because it will I will get in my head. Now, some mediums might be far more advanced than I am with that. A lot of them probably are, but for me, I would be in my head. Even doing a reading for you, I can't stop and think. I think I've used this example before, but if I did a reading for you and I would get like, say your grandma, and I get you and someone else, I'd be like, do you have a brother? Because I can't stop and think
right.
about your brother.
It's true. It's true. So you...
It's
a different level of consciousness.
Yeah.
But that being said, the things you do get in your readings, like the non-Googleable things, they are so very specific. All of these wonderful stories you hear with these great readings and these little nuggets of truth, there are things that are not on Google. It's like... You know, you talk about like a Hawaiian shirt that you, this person wore, whatever. And it's like, oh, that's the one thing I took when we cleaned out his drawers. And it's this, that, and it's not something that's posted on its face. It's always stuff like that.
Right. And what I loved about this gentleman in the documentary was that he's like, it was more than that. She could get his essence. Mm-hmm. She described the essence. And I'm like, that is it. because you can, when, and especially if you're clairsentient, where it's like you're feeling it, it's like you can just get it. I did a reading recently and I said, I'm getting John Wayne when he comes through. And it was like, well, he was the cowboy. And I'm like, yes. And I got, I mean, just the essence of who he was, of like John Wayne in so many ways. He had this like very strong code of honor and this like nobility about him. And he had kind of this wild streak and like this sense of humor. And he, you know, and it's like those things that, that's the essence of a person. It's so much more than just a material evidence, right? Like a shirt or...
Oh, I've seen you do it a million times over with, you know, mutual friends and people like myself, like people you've, you know, read that have passed for me too. It's that so, when you're talking at the essence of someone, unless you knew them, even to, even, you know what, even if I know somebody, it's actually hard to describe the essence of somebody.
Yeah.
But you do a really good job of that. And those are things like, again, you guys, you trust your intuition.
Yeah.
If you're going to a medium and something feels off, trust that and walk away.
Right.
Find a different one or, you know, take a break for a while. But if you go have a reading from somebody and there's so many things that are so amazing and feel so right, then it's the real deal, right?
Right.
So anyways, it was a really crazy documentary. I actually didn't finish. I think there's four of them. I only watched, I think, three.
We watched all of them. I was like, we had to. I had to see all of them. And I just, I feel like I'm so happy that they did this. The first one for sure was, I think everybody should watch it. And then the other ones are insightful. I just don't want to give mediumship a bad rap.
Proceed with caution with the other two if you're going to watch them. But I think the first one is so amazing.
Yeah, same.
I think it's really great. And I just love talking about all of those inspiring things. But anyways.
Well, that was a fun impromptu episode.
That was a really fun impromptu episode. Let's see. Shall we do some Ask the Medium?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Okay. We have one question this week, and it comes to us from Chrissy in San Juan Capistrano. And she asks, I'm just getting into crystals to help my meditation. I've heard it's good to recharge them. What is your advice or best practices for this?
I mean, great question, but I am going to give it to the crystal expert.
Oh, I'm a crystal expert. No, I love it.
I mean, you know way more about this than I do.
I'm getting to be the crazy crystal lady now. So
you've always been the crazy crystal lady.
I know, I have, and I'm just stepping into it more.
So yes. So Nadia, you answer this one. It's all yours.
Okay. So I have a lot of things I like to do. If you just need a really quick recharge where you want to give some like clear light to your crystals and charge them with some fresh energy, get a big old stick of selenite. You can get it anywhere online. Etsy is a good place to start. And you just stack those bad boys right on top of that selenite. And you can leave it there as little or as long as you want. But a selenite stick is a really good tool to kind of cleanse all of your crystals or recharge them. Another really fun thing to do is to charge them under the full moon. Now, crystals can be charged by the moon or the sun. And you know what? There's different purposes for each. So,
oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I only thought the moon. It's good to know the sun.
Okay, so
that
as
makes me happy.
As women, when we charge our crystals under the moon, it's a feminine energy we're connecting with.
Right.
So if you charge your crystals under the moon, you're going to get more feminine properties in your crystals. You're going to get more psychic powers, more empathy, more creativity. It's good to nurture mediumship. It's good for insightfulness, creativity, all of those things.
Okay.
Okay. The sun is a masculine energy.
Right.
So if you want to like have a boss bitch moment or you want have fatigue or you're having trouble saying no and you want to like harness your power, put those crystals under the sun.
Ooh,
isn't that fun?
I like that.
Yeah. So like strength, all of those like typically masculine qualities, which are sun qualities.
That's a little insulting that you would say that about the sun.
I know. But listen, Don't put them under the sun as long. That's going to be for a shorter period of time.
Okay.
Because you don't want to, like, overheat them or what. It doesn't take as much. But with the full moon, you can kind of make a whole ritual out of it and do it overnight and set intentions in the crystals.
I love that.
So, yeah. And also another thing, really quick, sage. Good old sage. Just sage.
I remember you saying that to me once. I never knew that before you had mentioned that. That's good to know.
Same thing that you do to a wall.
That's really, really good.
So, there you go.
Thanks for that. That was a really great explanation.
I mean, you're welcome. So, I mean, guys, this has been a really great episode. Did we talk about Patreon in the beginning?
Or
we talk about... I don't even remember. But I'm going to talk about
it
again.
We did nothing we were supposed to do on this podcast, just FYI.
We have a Patreon, and it's really fun. You guys, please join our Patreon for more bonus content for meditation and for a Zoom call. There's 3 different levels. Go to our Instagram, to Jen's Instagram, the.soul.spot.
That Nadia runs the majority of the time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hit and miss. Click on the link in the bio, so we should have that up there for a while, and then sign up. There's an app. It's super easy, and you're going to get a meditation from Jen once a month. You're going to get a bonus episode where we talk about nitty-gritty stuff and juicy stuff about our personal lives, and then you're also going to get a Zoom call that is going to be really fun and motivational, and we're going to talk about all the things we talk about all the time.
Yes, and I think commit to your spiritual self-care. This is going to be a really good reminder once a month to put attention and love on this area in your life.
I'm so excited. I love it very much.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.